All right, we are reconvening the City Council work session for Tuesday, June 9th to continue discussion of item three, which is review of the existing proposal for fiber optic service providers within the city of Ramsey, turning it back over to our city administrator, or city attorney, to continue the case.
Okay, so just, I think I was trying to rush really quickly, hoping to get you up by 7, so I'll just recap where we're at, and that is that because of the federal law and the state law and our own ordinances, the threshold question for determining if you can or if you must franchise for broadband is determining if broadband falls under the telecommunications bucket or if it falls under a cable bucket. Suppose it could fall under a third yet to be identified bucket, but those are really the two buckets that you have to choose from based on how everything has been defined in right-of-way statutes, how the FCC has looked at things, and then, of course, in our own ordinance. So, as I said, the state doesn't really have an official broadband definition that's helpful for right-of-way permitting, licensing, authorization. The current definition doesn't really help us there. The federal government has, the Sixth Circuit has said that it is not telecom, so that would imply that potentially, for the purposes of FCC rules, so potentially that would be an argument for us to say, yes, this should be treated like cable. But that area is still evolving. I'll talk about that in a minute. Minnesota statutes do say that if you're talking about a telecom service, we cannot franchise that. We can only franchise it if it's cable. That's what we are allowed to franchise. But then our own ordinance says that we must franchise everything in the right-of-way except for things that would not be permitted to be franchised by state law. So that would imply that if it's cable, it must be franchised, not that we could franchise it. And then recall that we have, through our JPA with the Cable Commission, have granted them, they administer and enforce all of our cable franchises. So what that means is that if the council decides that broadband is cable, then we would need to go speak with the Cable Commission and say, we think this is cable, you need to work with these broadband providers on a franchise agreement. And so we would be involved, but technically the bulk of that would be carried through the Cable Commission, not the city. And then, as I mentioned, just as a note, to under kind of another layer, if you will, is that our current cable franchise agreements do not include franchise fees for streaming services. The reason that I bring that up is everybody knows the revenues for cable commissions are plummeting, and one of the reasons is that users are moving from traditional cable to streaming services. And so there has been conversations at other cities and at sort of more policy level areas around using franchise agreements with broadband as a way to recapture those streaming service, the fees that should be collected for streaming services, or potentially looking at more of a very aggressive approach, which would be litigation with the current cable operators to say that your streaming services should be under the cable franchise agreements and should be eligible for franchise fees. Locally, at a state level, Woodbury has established a franchise agreement with Intrepid, and the city of Medina has established a franchise agreement with Midco. There are several other cities who are in the process of attempting that. What has happened is that the broadband operators are pushing back and saying, we do not believe that we require a franchise agreement. We think we should just be getting a right-of-way permit. Give us our right-of-way permit. And so there's been some push and pull on that. Just kind of talking about the benefits of a franchise agreement, using Woodbury's as the example for the key things that would be able to be put into a franchise agreement and why the city would even want to consider doing it. One is it would be a non-exclusive franchise, so in other words, you could have multiple service providers that would all have a franchise agreement with the city for installing broadband. You can have clauses in there about equal access to broadband, so they can't discriminate based on a variety of factors. But two of the biggest ones would be neighborhood or business size. So just because it's a small neighborhood or it's a small business, they still have to provide the broadband. Another term that would be included was open access service provider. So in other words, if I'm putting in the broadband fiber, which that's it's fiber versus a cable, if you will, although these terms are 100% interchangeable in terms of how people are using them, that you couldn't, for example, just allow Peacock to stream through your service. You would need to allow anybody who wanted to stream through your line to be able to do so. The term in Woodbury is a 15-year term. This is one that I think a lot of cities are looking at, and that is requiring something called a reasonable build-out of the city. So in other words, you don't come in and just put broadband in the five most densely populated areas of the city. You need to build out the entire city, and giving them a time frame in which to do that. There, of course, is clauses in the agreement that says they can show financially why this would be a hardship or something that would allow them to get out of putting broadband in a particular area. And this has not been tested against reality. This contract was just signed within the last 6 months, and so hard to know what this looks like 5 years from now. Does Intrepid continue to build out Woodbury, or do they avoid the lower return on investment areas? In addition, they have a requirement that they have to provide discounted rates for people with disabilities and for seniors. So generally speaking, the benefits of franchise are that the franchise agreement is going to give you citywide rules, right? So a right-of-way permit is going to be rules for how they install, what they have to do to make sure that they're keeping it clean, that they're not creating a big mess, those kinds of things. The franchise agreement is sort of a little bit more service-minded versus infrastructure-minded, and that it can require equal access. Like I mentioned, one of the things that I think a lot of cities are interested in is that requiring you to build out an entire city. So if you come in, you're pot committed to this particular city. And then you can have some consumer protections and reporting. A few other examples of terms in the Woodbury contract are they have to have an annual meeting where they come in and sort of present how their service has been, what kind of outages they've had, what kind of response times they've had. So it does create a layer of oversight. The flip side would be a layer of bureaucracy, right? So that's going to be the push-pull on that piece. But those would be the benefits to why a city would want to franchise. And then, of course, in addition is additional revenue. If you elect to add a fee onto these franchise agreements, which you are not required to do, but if you did, then that would be a revenue generator. Benefits of robust right-of-way permitting, which frankly, Ramsey has already done a really good job of beefing up their right-of-way ordinance and their right-of-way permit requirements. So you're already there, but it's to coordinate construction to ensure that you have some reductions in neighborhood disruption. You're setting up clear standards, timelines, restoration requirements, and then making sure that all of the city's real costs are being covered. Those, I would say, based on what we currently have, we're already sitting pretty. We are in a better position than a lot of other cities, quite frankly, in terms of what's in our revised right-of-way requirements. So just real quickly to talk about the risk. Franchising absolutely has a greater risk of litigation. As I mentioned, Woodbury does have a franchise agreement with Intrepid. Intrepid has also filed a lawsuit against Woodbury to not have to be bound by that franchise agreement. It hasn't gone anywhere. In fact, I don't even know if it's been filed with the court. It's been served on the city. But it's definitely something that would absolutely be increased risk if the city wanted to take the position that broadband is cable and therefore we are requiring a franchise agreement. Enhancing the right-of-way permit process, that's pretty low risk. The threshold for what we have to demonstrate as a city is just more reasonable, right? The other thing under franchising is there is the potential of FCC preemption. So let's talk about FCC involvement right now. There's two particular specific cases that I want to highlight involving Minnesota. One is that Gateway Fiber has asked the FCC to intervene with Minnesota cities requiring franchise agreements. So they have asked the FCC to create some sort of decision rules, et cetera, that would say that broadband is, that franchise agreements are prohibited for broadband. Intrepid has asked the FCC to preempt Cottage Grove from entering into an agreement with Gateway Fiber that would prohibit future right-of-way permits or limit future right-of-way permits for broadband for the next 5 years. So what happened with Cottage Grove? Cottage Grove put out an RFP saying, hey, we want to find somebody who's willing to build out the whole city. And then in exchange, you know, we're going to limit all the other broadband right-of-way permits. And so ultimately, based on the RFP that was put out, Gateway Fiber was the party that they selected. They moved forward with an agreement with Gateway Fiber, and then that's when Intrepid came in and said, that's not fair, we should be able to get right-of-way permits too. And so they've asked the FCC to preempt Cottage Grove from being able to do that. Both of these cases in front of the FCC are under review. There is not any sort of indication from the FCC on what they are going to do. They are both just sitting there. So I know this is probably not the presentation that you guys thought you were going to get about franchise agreements, but really the biggest question is the council has to decide that for the city of Ramsey, is broadband cable and therefore franchise eligible, potentially franchise mandatory, right? Or is broadband telecom and therefore it cannot be franchised? And then that door is closed for the city. Everything would flow from that decision if the council decides that based on the definitions, based on what the federal government has said, what the state government has said, what our ordinance says, we believe that broadband is cable, then we would need, the city staff would need to go to the Cable Commission and start working on what franchise agreements would look like for broadband. If the city decides it's telecom, then we could not do that. One other note, what if we consider franchising later, or more accurately probably, what if we don't want to answer this question right now? We want to wait and let some of the controversies that are happening happen. That's perfectly fine. It's just at that point in time, the city would need to make a determination that broadband is cable, and that's certainly not, you know, telecom. And then we would, at that point, work with QCTV, Cable Commission, and be prepared then for negotiations and then, of course, all of the things that would flow from that, potentially litigation. The largest issue with delaying that decision, if at some point the council thinks they want to pivot and require franchising agreements for broadband, is that as the city gets more and more built out, the desire for a broadband installer to come into the city to hypothetically install in the less lucrative areas can be a consideration. In other words, if the city at that point is 20, 30, 40, 50% built out, and obviously they're going to start at the most dense areas and work their way to the least dense areas, and all you have are your least dense areas, it's possible that if you say we require a franchise agreement, they'll just say, nah, forget it, we're not coming in. Just can't make them. So that's the presentation, and I can go back because I realize there's information on some of these slides you might want to discuss. But what, to start with, what are the council's questions about franchising for broadband?
Chris, you didn't mention Prior Lake and Lakeville. Are those just like in process, newer than? I mean, so like you said, like Woodbury is kind of the first one going through it, because like I know like Prior Lake, I'd read a whole article about it, and they were saying it's going to be good because they were going to get the whole city done, like as you indicated. So that's just not in your presentation because it's just in process. Then.
Correct. They haven't actually they don't have an executed agreement.
Okay. So the news I was reading was just
they were talking about it or
yes.
in the process
and
of it?
There are tons of cities who are talking about it or in the process of it. Maple Grove would be another one. A bunch of cities on the, as part of South Washington County, because Woodbury was the first domino to fall, and now several of them in that same cable commission are all going to be attempting the same thing. But obviously Cottage Grove went a slightly different direction with their right-of-way, exclusive right-of-way permitting concept. But there are tons of cities who are considering it or saying we're requiring it, but nobody's actually signed that franchise agreement aside from the two that have executed franchise okay. agreements.
All right. Any other questions? There's a couple things I wrote down. I'm trying to make sense of my notes. You said, is Comcast, is that, you mentioned a couple different providers. Is Comcast the carrier but not the infrastructure? This is, the people are putting in the fiber, that's infrastructure, and then Comcast piggybacks off that?
Potentially. Comcast is, I mean, Comcast is cable.
Right.
And Xfinity is
Comcast.
Part of Comcast.
Yeah.
The
I guess I'm just wondering, like, do the people, sorry, what were the two that you kept mentioning? It was
Gateway Fiber and Intrepid. And Gateway Fiber is Intrepid. Who we have, Gateway Fiber is who our permits are with.
So does Gateway, like, lease fiber to Comcast? Like, I'm just wondering, like, one person's going to own the fiber, but then do they have a monopoly on the service, or do they, like, rent or lease out that fiber to different internet service providers?
They can lease it out to different internet service providers or use providers, and that was where in the key terms of the agreement for Woodbury is that it's an open access service provider, so
sure.
it requires that they have to allow, they can't just can't
yeah.
just be Comcast, and it would even, I think it even goes narrower than that, so, and I don't know how all of the media companies actually work, right? I realize they all kind of come from parent organizations, but so it can't just be Peacock or it could just be Hulu or Netflix or whatever the businesses are. You can't just work with one.
Okay.
Business isn't the right word, but service provider.
Bruce, hadn't you indicated that there would be separate, potentially separate sets of lines in the ground also?
So from what I'm understanding is these providers typically don't compete with each other in the same area. So one comes in and I mean, what I'm seeing in what Gateway Fiber submitted to us for permit request is they're starting in the south end, the highly dense areas, moving their way up north. But right now I'm just going to say Comcast, submitting permit request permit applications for some of the areas that Gateway is planning to build out in. So they're probably going to change my understanding is they're going to change their permit applications when they come in and not. My understanding is they typically don't compete in the same space. You would not have multiple sets in the right of way for different providers.
Hypothetically, you wouldn't, but that doesn't mean that if I own the infrastructure, I'm going to allow every provider to use it. Outside of a franchise agreement, that would require that I do that. That is one of the supposedly one of the benefits. Now, all of this with a caveat of this has not been tested in the real world long enough to know if any of this is, you know, what this looks like 5 years from now when it's built out.
Okay, and then I'll get to you in 1 second. Sorry,
yeah,
I just had to follow up. And to better understand this, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, telecom, that's like radio and that's landline telephones and cell phone towers and things of that nature.
That's generally true, yes.
Right. So what we're dealing with here is historically, internet was provided through landlines with like dial-up and DSL, and now cable has essentially monopolized internet because it's running through their infrastructure. And now we're talking about bringing in fiber, which would revert closer to that dial-up service. So I guess the way I'm thinking about it right now is cable basically monopolized internet. Before cable was around, internet was considered telecom because it went through your phone line. Now internet is considered cable because cable has monopolized everything. This would be putting internet back as a telecom. So
Potentially.
So I'm just, first off, I'm trying to just get definitions down before I even know what to think about it. But I think fiber, you use fiber now for your phone lines. Like people have like, you know, they call through Wi-Fi or they have a phone, internet phone provider. They use it to listen to Spotify. So, I mean, the concept of fiber is it really is to me more of a telecom than a cable. That being said, I want to do what's best for Ramsey. So one of the distinctions,
the other distinction between telecom and cable has been that telecom is two-way. Mm-hmm. So I'm receiving, I'm pushing out information and I'm receiving information, or data or whatever, right? And cable is largely I'm just consuming. I'm not pushing anything out. I'm just getting.
Right.
And so that's been another way that they have been decided to be distinct, and that is why there is a push, an argument that all these streaming services are cable, because you are consuming, you are not, there isn't a two-way street here, it's really just one way.
The streaming services are, but people use fiber to send messages, emails back and forth, they'll make phone calls over fiber. So although the consumer version, which is the Peacock, would fall under cable, but I would agree with that, but then the use case is going to be a lot of two-way communication as well. So it's just very complicated. I'm just trying to make sense of what I would define it based on its use case and then how that affects the city if we were to define it that way. So I'm just kind of machinating some things in my head right now, just talking out loud. Kristen?
So we already have fiber in some areas, and it's been going fine. Is that accurate? Were any of us upset about anything that was happening before we started talking about this? Okay. So I guess I think that we're trying to define like a term of art that is like undefinable at this moment, and it is interchangeable and could potentially have ramifications in the future that we are not aware of yet and has a higher risk of litigation. So I don't see a benefit to us messing with don't fix what's not broken kind of thing.
And that was one of the questions that's a good point. You said if we don't do anything, we can always do it in the future as cable, but can we just put it off and still leave it open, or do we have, if we push this decision off, does that limit us to define it as cable? Did I hear that correct?
Well, I mean, in order to get to a franchise agreement, you're going to have to call it cable. The city's going to have to say, we have decided this is cable, and that's why we can require a franchise agreement from you. But if right now what you say is the city council says, look, there's too much unknown right now, we can't say it's cable, we can't say it's telecom. Some of the bigger people, FCC, the you know state government, there's a few more people who need to weigh in and give us more information so that we can decide what it is. And so that would be fine, and you can wait. And then you would not be doing a franchise agreement, you know, right now. And then hypothetically a year from now when some of this stuff has flushed out, based on the information at that time, you could say, well, we are standing on this position or we're standing on that position.
So waiting right now doesn't limit us, our options in the future?
No, it does not. And the other piece that makes it a little bit tricky is for what is currently in the ground, technically that should be under a franchise agreement, but there is no way to require them to do a franchise agreement unless and until they come back for a new permit to fix something, to do something in there, or we sue them. Which means that whatever is sitting in the ground right now that is broadband would not be under a franchise agreement. Only the new stuff could be under a franchise agreement unless and until they have to come back for a right-of-way permit to do something in that space again.
Could we retroactively define what they had already put in after the fact, or it's anything up until the point that we make it declare a definition is like grandfathered into the old one?
It's kind of like it's grandfathered in. It's not, because technically it is required. It's not a land use,
right?
So they don't. But there isn't a mechanism to force them to do it outside of just suing them. Or they come in for a right-of-way permit, and then that would trigger the process.
But would it trigger it on everything that's happened in the past or just going forward?
It would just on what's going forward, or if the stuff that's been done in the past needs to have a repair. If they have to pull a new permit to do something new
sure.
in their existing area maintenance, upgrade, something.
Okay.
Then that would be, and so speaking with Mike Bradley, who is the, he's the attorney that has been representing all these cable commission, negotiated the Intrepid deal, negotiated really a lot, all of the deals in the state so far. He said that is kind of a tricky issue, right? Of technically everybody's supposed to be under a franchise, but cities are not going to proactively sue the providers that are the people who own the current infrastructure. That's just not something cities are going to do.
Chris,
but you made the point. And I think this is real important that the more that we allow in, if we decide later. That makes it less likely that we ever get our city built out.
100%.
So, you know, if in the next few years while they're deciding this, all of, well, we'll just say the southern half of the city gets built, then we make a change potentially, and then, but then they wouldn't care because the northern half of the city never gets built out. And that was one of the things that I was always concerned about here, a lot of why I brought this back or had it brought back is, it's about our residents and our city, I think, is a good or bad case for this, that, you know, the southern half is more dense and the northern half is less dense. And if we leave it to them, the northern half, our residents will never get service. And if the longer we wait also, and then I guess, and maybe Bruce, I'll ask you, or if you know, in the portions that we're giving them permits right now, are all of the addresses going to be served? Everyone in those addresses or in those areas?
I don't believe they're serving. What they're doing is putting the basically the trunk infrastructure in, the main lines running along the streets, and then building and then putting lines out to what they call flower pots, and then they go out and then they market the residents. And whoever wants to connect, then they run the line from the flower pot into the home. So they're setting it up, but they don't put everything right to every single house.
Okay. Well, will it be available to all of the houses in those areas?
Available to all houses, yes.
Okay. So there won't be streets that are too sparse in the areas.
No. So that's a very good point. So. And I know I've had discussions with Brian, and he's also concerned that we're going to have unserved pocket areas. So that's one of the items that's in our list of our requirements for permitting, is that permits may be denied if there's unserved pockets. We reserve the right to not issue a permit or work with you to revise that permit to include those areas. So we haven't got to those areas. They're starting down on the south end, but there are some areas in that little scope of project that I showed you earlier. There are a couple unserved areas, but just a couple of streets that we would work with them and try and encourage them to serve those streets, or else we would maybe just hold back and not issue them.
So to maybe summarize that, right now we have the leverage because it behooves the fiber people to make an agreement with Ramsey, and Ramsey can say, okay, if you want all of this business, you have to service these areas too. If we wait too long, they'll service 95% of the residents, and then we have no leverage to get them to put fiber to the rural areas. So by waiting, we lose leverage to convince them to serve the rest of the city. So if we enter into an agreement now early on, we can say, you can have our business, but you have to service everybody. Is that?
Yes.
Yes. That's okay. Yeah, because these companies will run fiber to everyone who wants it if it's economical. So if you have a hub in a neighborhood, they'll run a fiber to the next door neighbor, no problem, because they're going to make money off it. But what they won't do is run a 2.5 mile fiber line up to Northern Ramsey if it's not economical. But we can essentially twist their arm into doing that now if we give them franchising rights, right? That's what you're saying?
Yes, because yeah, I mean that's the discussion,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Clear, Shannon.
So, what currently is happening in other more densely populated states that have this already? Like, what? Because we can't be the first little pocket of areas that are dealing with this, with the FCC being involved. Nobody has a pulse on what they're deciding or how this will get turned into cable or not turned into cable?
So federally, the FCC has not, other than that they have, there is one, there is the a couple court opinions, Sixth Circuit most well known, that says on the basis of FCC rules, broadband is not telecom. But not every state has structured franchise agreements like Minnesota has structured our franchise agreements with our right-of-way. And so the reason why we're not really going to be able to compare an apple to an apple is I don't know what other states do for the state right-of-way component. And that's where we, I mean, that's frankly where a lot of our analysis is coming from.
And I think the more densely populated areas are less of a concern because they'll build there regardless because they'll make money off it. For us, it's we have rural and we have suburban, or whatever it's called now. And we're trying to protect the rural area by leveraging the suburban area that they want. If the whole, like, I bet you Anoka would get fiber in the entire city, no matter what, just because they can run one line and reach, you know, 80 people per block. With us, we can't do that. So that's why we have to make the decision to leverage early versus waiting too long and then losing that ability to serve the north. Yes, Dan?
So I guess I agree with what you're saying. I want the whole city covered. My concern that I think about is that going to scare away Galen's places that want to come in now? Are they less likely to do it? Because I do know right now it's a need. I really do think it's a need now. And if it meant, okay, then no one's going to touch Ramsey for 5 years, and I don't think that's going to be a service to the residents either. Then, you know, it could be a whole different technology then. I mean, I think this is the best they have now. Let's get it out who we can, let the market decide. But then I'm torn because I also do agree. But it, I guess my point is I don't want to do actions that are going to discourage the development of the fiber and keep people from wanting to come in.
Well, I would agree with that, but I do think this, if these utilities, if they're a utility or whatever they are, this infrastructure is like real estate. Like, I think once you claim it, it's yours. So my guess is that regardless of it's economically feasible up front, if we give exclusive rights to one or multiple, that'd be enough incentive to get them in so they could claim the territory and make money off it later on. So I don't know. I'm just spitballing here without, you know, being a professional. But my thought would be it wouldn't discourage them. It would probably incentivize them to win the bid because fiber now in a city of 29,000 means fiber in a city of 60,000 30 years from now. So I don't want to discourage them coming in here at all. I just, if I know anything about cable and like they monopolize so fast, which is what I don't like about a franchise. But also, if that's the only way to get fiber out to every resident, then I think it makes sense.
The other thing to keep in mind is that this isn't exclusively just a city decision. If you wanted to franchise, then you have to get the Cable Commission involved. And my understanding with talking with Brian is this hasn't really been on the radar at the Cable Commission. I think you're on, so I don't know that this has been talked about in terms of franchising broadband because they are technically the entity that's going to be carrying a lot of the water, doing a lot of the costs on it. Because the agreement will be with them.
Kirsten?
I just think we should proceed with where we're at. It sounds like we're doing okay. It sounds like we're already preventing pockets from not getting access to things. I think it'll progress as it progresses. I don't want to prevent community members from getting access to it that can get access to it now. I don't want us to end up in litigation. I don't want us to make a decision based on something that we can't really actually define. Nothing's wrong, once again. And we're making a decision based on other cities trying to do something that they've only discussed in theory, not seen come to fruition in practice. I think this body typically likes to not be the first to try and do something. And I don't want to mess with the feds personally on something that I don't think we have a problem with, so.
All right, that's a good point. Anybody else? Do we want to kick the can down the road and wait till it gets litigated other places? We lose the opportunity to maybe leverage. But I think I don't want to lose the opportunity to leverage basically buying power for the entire city because of what we have for this small part of the city. But I would probably agree with Kirsten that...
Thank you, Ryan.
You're welcome.
Adorable.
Well, I think we're putting ourselves in a bind of picking winners and losers, and sometimes that's really... I don't think it's really smart, but there could be benefits, but there's unforeseen consequences as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about it. We decide it's cable, and then there's a new law that says you can restrict cable. Yeah, I mean, there's... This is going to be a semi-made of fact. I believe I've heard this somewhere. But, like, the cable is regulated by the FCC, right? So, like, you can't pick and choose individual. You can't say, I want Discovery Channel and History Channel, but I don't want everything else to pay for it, because cable has monopolized that, saying it's an all-or-nothing package, and that's why streaming has become so popular, because you can subscribe to the History Channel. So cable does have the ability to basically box you out and take away the personal choice of how you interact with it. So since broadband, as I said, is more internet than cable because it's two-way communication and it's closer to what internet was, landlines and things of that nature, I guess I am agreeing with you. I'm a little cautious that we define a cable, we give a ton of autonomy away to the FCC and things of that nature. So it'd be nice if we could guarantee every resident has equal opportunity to fiber, but we do run the risk of maybe losing business now and then monopolizing something that we can't change in the future. So I guess I would say punt.
Do you have advice, or what's your thought? What are you?
You know, I you guys, Ramsey is unique that you have the rural areas and the dense areas, and you are very much of a growing city. So what you will look like 20 years from now is going to look a lot different than what you look like today. I think that's a positive thing, because I think that I can say that, but there's the people who are putting in the infrastructure are spending tons and tons of money to analyze that and come up with the exact right number, right, to do their cost-benefit analysis. I have a feeling the cost-benefit analysis will swing in your direction as opposed to other cities that I work for. It may be worth bringing it up at a cable commission. I mean, maybe that's the next step, is to say, hey, you've got the other cities that, you know, are in the cable commission. This, we're not the only city that's talking about this, or shouldn't be. And so what are the other cities thinking about? What are they planning on doing? I realize every city is a little bit unique, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be brought up as a conversation with the cable commission.
Chris, Bruce, do you have any idea how Andover, Champlin, Noka are handling?
So I actually spoke to the city engineer, public works director in Andover today, and just to confirm what they're doing. And he just said basically they're just issuing permits as they come in. They don't try and prevent unserved areas. They don't regulate that. They view them as a business doing their operations, and they don't interfere with how they're operating, so they just issue permits when they come in.
So they'll have the same problem that Ramsey does, that Northern Andover will potentially not be served.
Dan?
I'll just say, I know it's late, but the only thing I kind of think about with broadband, I mean, there are, I mean, it's not like it's a one thing, like a telephone line at the time. That was your communication, your one way to get cable back then. I mean, you could do Starlink, you can still do, you know, DSL, you can still do cable. There are other options, where it's not like we're keeping our residents from getting internet. It's just really a high-speed nice one that, you know, but that's part of your decision as well. I think when you decide where you're going to live, like, I realize there's going to be fewer options. If I work from home, maybe I can't get a house on the farm if Starlink's not going to work or something, you know.
Michael, you stole some of my points.
Yes.
I was going to say that there's no reason in my mind that we need to make everything available to everybody. It's the Ramsey's not a homogenous place. It has the rural and the urban feel, and you make choices based on what you want. You know, if you want to hear roosters, without the
rural area. If you don't want to hear roosters, maybe don't do that. And I'm in favor of limiting bureaucracy. If we can keep our hands off it and just let the thing roll out as the market predicts, as the market forecasts. And as the city grows, if we go from 30,000 people to 60,000 people, the companies that are providing this are going to want to service that because they're going to get more income from it. So I think doing nothing, at least for now, is a good idea, and I think I would favor doing nothing.
Anybody else do nothing?
It's too late, they have to do my house. Other than that, doesn't. I'm just kidding.
Pause for now. And Dan, if you as the liaison could talk to the QCTV about it.
I'll have to say exactly what I should say, but yeah, I can do that.
I can send you this PowerPoint if that's helpful.
Can you imagine Dan giving this presentation
to
those people?
I can send this to Brian. Bruce and I have talked about construction season is a season in Minnesota, so the nice thing is, frankly, you know, they're getting permits now for this season. They're not going to be pulling permits every single day for forever, right? The tap's going to get turned off pretty soon for this season, if not already. And then there's a nice six-month cycle of really nothing before they kind of are looking at next season. Hopefully by then some of this stuff has flushed out. We can always pick this back up next February, March, and just give an update in terms of,
okay,
hey, here's if there's been any resolution from the FCC, if there's been anything that would maybe take this out of our hands, then we'll know that by then.
We all know more about this than we did coming in here.
Bruce, can you send that map of where we have fiber or where it's going to be everywhere?
Yep.
There was like a little chunk that was going to be overlapped, like that magenta space. Mm-hmm.
Extra good service.
Extra good service.
Extra.
For our extra good citizens, just in that little pocket right there.
Two choices.
I know where I'm.
Yeah, I can.
Fiber and stereo.
Yeah. All right. Any other discussion on this one?
Thank you for making that presentation.
Yes.
Thank you for making us stay late.
That was good.
Sorry.
If we give it to other cities, we need some credit back on it, though.
Of course. Absolutely. Okay. I'll put Viamana Johnson and Ramsey Council, City Council.
All right. Future topics calendar, you can see that. We do have update on outside committees. Maybe if anybody wants to just hit any highlights on any of them, maybe real quick. I know we skipped that before. I'll show you how fast I can go. JLEC, Public Safety Levy, they're doing to provide finances to fund their capital improvement plans. Radios, they were going to work on a big group, or big purchasing power, all the radios. They found that some cities have them and some don't, so they're just leaving it to the cities now. And JLEC now has an FBI representative that was there for the special agent in charge. And then they've shifted some resources from fire over to police, and there is no jail update. And then on the North Metro Mayor's meeting, nothing really too big to talk about. Cities do their updates, so we talked about Ramsey, but the nice thing is we have Troy Olson, who's the lobbyist on our behalf, and he was helpful in getting the combined $4.9 million towards the Mississippi River crossing. $2.9 and then another $2, so I think it's $4.9. And he's still advocating on our behalf to get more grants, so that's good. Anybody else with any high-level overviews?
Lower Rum has really nothing to report. I mean, it's just day-to-day operations kind of things.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're still looking for an executive director. The external candidates didn't turn out, so they're looking internally now as maybe an interim one or something. So.
Okay. Anyone else?
Maybe Fire Protection Council.
Yes.
So they got a new chair after the resignation of Chief Jones. Chief Dave Schmidt from Rum River was nominated and he was approved. Chief James Lang from Fridley was nominated for vice chair to replace the vice chair position. the Fire Protection Council doesn't currently have medical direction under Alina anymore, and so they're kind of figuring out what would be the best way to move forward. And they're hosting it through the Fire Protection, right? Like, or exploring to host it through them, and like the associated operational and financial impacts. They were talking about the Anoka County Fire Training Academy, which was going to be graduating today. So some new folks going through the academy. Let's see. I think there's a lot of like overlap from JLEC. Joe Gerhard from Blaine, he's a police officer, leads the public safety peer support group, and so that there's a Guns and Hoses fire or fundraiser coming up, and so then that would go to their public safety peer support group. So if people want to look into that, that'd be great. And then for the annual dues, they reduced it by 900 due to changes involving Centennial joining SBM. There's some significant projected increases for PSDS costs. And they're looking for a replacement for the SRT trailer. So that's about it.
All right.
Oh, they had their legislative day on the Hill too, April 27th. And then Women Explore Fire Service Day was May 2nd at SBM. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome. Anyone else? If not, I think we're caught up on everything, so we will adjourn. We are adjourned.